everyone, and thank you for joining today's webinar. I'm Elizabeth Kerr with Business Forward, and I will be moderating our conversation today. Currently, all lines are in listen-only mode. We're pleased to welcome Dr. Andrew Lyon, the leader of the National Economics and Statistics and Principal for PwC US, and Dr. Lawrence Yoon, Chief Economist and Senior Vice President of Research for the National Association of Realtors. They are here to talk about the possibility of the Fed raising interest rates tomorrow and the effect that move could have on the national economy and consumer demand. For those of you who are new to our programming, Business Forward is a national business organization that helps business leaders from across America brief Washington on how to create jobs and accelerate the economy. We've helped tens of thousands of business leaders from across the country brief more than 450 senior administration officials, members of Congress, governors, mayors, and local elected officials. Before we get started, I just have a few housekeeping items I need to cover. First, in the email confirmation you received after registering for this event, there is a button that says Access Social Webinar. You can click on that and view the presentation. If you have any problems with that, just email us at info@businessfwd.org and we can help you. Second, please note that this call is on the record and there may be reporters on the call. Finally, this is an interactive briefing, and after Dr. Lyon and Dr. Yoon speak, there will be a chance for you to ask questions and share your comments. You can participate in one of two ways. The first way is just to press 1 on your phone and you'll be entered into the queue to ask a question live. You could also email that question to us at info@businessfwd.org. Again, you can press 1 to ask your question live or email your question to us at info@businessfwd.org. Now, if you email us a question, please include your name, your business, and your location in your message. And if you ask your question live, please introduce yourself with your business and where you're calling from. So with that, I will hand the conversation over to Dr. Lyon and Dr. Yoon. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Liz. Well, the timing for this call is because the Federal Reserve has begun the first day of their two-day meeting where they are expected tomorrow to announce a policy change where they would begin increasing the federal funds rate, which is one of the tools at the Federal Reserve's disposal to help control the U.S. economy. The federal funds rate is a rate, interest rate on overnight loans between banks for reserve balances that they hold at the Federal Reserve. So it's a very short-term rate, overnight rate. And as a tool, basically what the Federal Reserve tries to do is that by lowering this rate, they make funds cheaper to banks, which encourages lending and borrowing, and by raising rates does the opposite, increases the rates on the loans that the banks charge and reduces borrowing, thereby reducing economic activity. As this chart shows, since 2008, the federal funds rate has been effectively pegged at zero. It's a narrow range that they target between zero and a quarter of percentage point. And it's really since this date that savers and money market funds and bank accounts have been earning close to zero on their short-term savings. Now, I should say the announcement coming tomorrow is not a foregone conclusion that they will raise rates, but Federal Reserve members have been hinting for at least several months that they expect and expected the U.S. economy to be in a strong enough position by the end of this year to be able to withstand the beginning of interest rate increases. And in September, 13 of the 17 members said that they expected the rate to increase. So this is really good news that the U.S. economy is in a strong enough position that the Fed thinks we can move to this policy of beginning to tighten one of their tools. But it's not a foregone conclusion. I just checked, according to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, based on future prices, the market is placing about an 81% probability that there will be an increase in the federal funds rate. And just to drop back, what has the Federal Reserve seen, what are the policymakers seeing that suggests to them that the economy is strong enough that they can begin a policy of tightening on money? Well, we've seen the unemployment rate decline to 5%. It hit a peak of 10% in the worst of the recession. Over the past year, employers have been adding about 210,000 jobs per month, and GDP, growth in the overall economy, has been growing roughly in a range between 2%, 2.5%, and is forecast to continue to grow at roughly a 2.5% range in 2016. Now, in terms of, so those are the favorable factors. In terms of the unfavorable factors for the economy, inflation has actually been lower than the Federal Reserve would like to see. If you drop out food and energy prices, which are more volatile, we know the price of oil has gone down dramatically over the past year. Even dropping those out, inflation is below the Fed's preferred range of about 2%. Their most preferred measure, they measure inflation at about 1.25% over the past year. So that indicates that there's some slack in the economy. Also, we've seen the dollar appreciate over roughly the past year by about 15%. The strong dollar makes it harder for U.S. exporters to sell goods competitively and makes imports more competitive. Both of those factors work to slow the U.S. economy, U.S. GDP, and that might be working to hold back GDP growth by about 0.5%. We've also seen weakness in China. China, which over much of the past decade has grown at about 10% a year, is now growing at something like 6% a year. Very enviable growth for most countries, but a slowdown for China. And as I've mentioned, oil prices indicating both worldwide weakness and some weakness in the U.S. So the Fed has to weigh these different views of the economy, make a decision. What they have said in the past is once they begin raising the federal funds rate, they expect it to be increasing rather slowly. This dotted line is a projected path of rate increases of about 1 percentage point a year. And we can contrast that to the 2004-2006 cycle, where they were raising interest rates at about 2 percentage points a year. So again, they're expecting a slower path. And here again, market expectations are for even slightly slower rate increases going forward. And what's useful to think about is with inflation in this range of about 1.5 to 2% over the next year or two, that means that real interest rates, the nominal federal funds rate less inflation, will still be negative or close to zero for most of the next 2 years. So that indicates even though the Fed is beginning to tighten on this policy tool, by historical standards, it is still relatively loose. Lawrence will comment more on the impact of this rate change on mortgage rates and other securities. I do want to point out again that this is a policy tool that's really a short-term rate, not directly connected to the 10-year rate. And it's worth looking at this next slide, which shows what has happened to interest rates over the past roughly 2 years. This dotted line is showing interest rates at different maturities in January 2014, fairly steep upward increase, essentially zero at the very low end, 3 months to a year, increasing to 3.5 to 4% out 20 and 30 years. Last month, recreating the line using the same type of data, what we've seen is short-term rates have increased as we've gotten closer to this expected policy change by the Fed, where they would raise their short-term interest rate. But interestingly, long-term interest rates have actually declined over this period. Now, we don't actually expect that as the short-term interest rate increases, that the long-term interest rate would decline, but it does show there's not a direct one-to-one connection between these rates. And one study has tried to examine what would be the expected impact on the 10-year Treasury rate from a 1 percentage point increase in the federal funds rate. And that study produces estimates that the 10-year rate would be expected to increase by only about 2/10 of a percentage point. So in general, what we expect to see is a flattening of the yield curve, an increase in interest rates at the shorter end, less of an increase at the longer end. And the third slide I'd like to show, moving on to this next slide, is a historical look going back to 1995 at where interest rates have been on various Treasury securities over this period, looking at the 10-year note, the top line, down to the 1-year note, the bottom line. And you can see, by historical standards, we've had very low interest rates. And if the federal funds rate increases over the next 3 years towards the Federal Reserve's new target of about 3.5%, and if we think that adds roughly 3.5% to the 1-year rate, those short-term rates will still be very low by historical standards. And you know, even if we added a percentage point to the 10-year rate, that too would be a very low historical rate. So you know, I'd say in that context, we've hopefully are now moving to a stronger economy, and even as the Fed begins this policy of rate increases, should they begin that tomorrow as expected, it will still generally be keeping us in a favorable interest rate environment. So, Lawrence, do you want to move on now to continue?
Yeah, great. So thanks, Drew, for that. So housing market is one of the more sensitive sectors as related to the interest rate changes. And in fact, the slide that you see in front of you shows the decline in pending contracts, which is a leading indicator for closings, that back in about mid-2003, early-2004, we saw that measurable, consistent decline in contract activity. And that was coming from the fact that, if you recall the terminology, the temper tantrum or taper tantrum, I should say, when the Ben Bernanke at that time, the chair of the Federal Reserve, indicated that he may begin to lessen some of the quantitative easing. And just by that statement, the long-term yields had risen, which means that mortgage rate rose by 100 basis points. And that was the trigger as to the loss and the pending contract signings, that circle area. Now, since that time, the mortgage rates and the 10-year Treasury have begun to settle down again, trending down a little lower. And also remember, throughout this time, we had a zero interest rate policy and on the short-term Fed funds rate. So that has not really changed. So it's the long-term rates that is changing. If we move to the next slide, one can see the point that paper tantrum where we saw the sudden jump in the mortgage rate, even though the Federal Reserve had maintained the zero interest rate policy. Now with the consistent slide in the mortgage rate back down to slightly under 4%, that has revived the housing market, and home sales this year are projected to rise about 7%. And with rising sales, it's also boosting prices, depending upon the measure of the home price. It's rising anywhere from 5 to 6 or even 7% this year because of the buyers coming back into the market. Now the question becomes, you know, what happens once the Fed raises rate? Drew mentioned, according to the futures market, it looks like maybe 80% chance that tomorrow Fed will raise rates. The survey of economists, as done by Wall Street Journal, indicate 97% chance, or 97% of the economists believing that Fed will raise rates tomorrow. So high probability on that decision. But if we go to the next slide, one of the surprising aspects of the short-term rate and long-term rate. So what I portray here is Fed funds rate, which is the red line, and the blue line is the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, which is generally tied to the 10-year treasury movement. So what one sees in this chart is that even though the red line, what the Federal Reserve directly controls, can move down, move up, move down, that the blue line barely budges. And also, even in the time period when the Fed is having a steady policy, I guess one can look towards the zero interest rate policy, one can see that the mortgage rate is pretty much moving on in its own. Because the long-term rates are not only tied to the short-term Fed policy rates, but it is determined by many factors. As economists who, you know, go through econ courses, graduate studies will recognize it depends upon future inflationary expectation, current inflation, whether the global savings rate, whether the U.S. is doing better in relation to other countries. So a host of other factors are at play regarding the long-term rates that makes it move somewhat independently of the short-term rates at times, not always. If I had extended this graph to the 1980s, 1990s, one see more closer direct relationship between red and the blue line, but at least in the past 15 years, it doesn't appear to be the case. If we move to the next slide, what I anticipate is that the Fed will be raising rates in tomorrow, and furthermore, probably another three rounds of rate increase in 2016, all by a quarter percentage points, so that this time next year, the Fed funds rate may be 1% or even 1.25% this time next year. And what this chart shows, that horizontal red line is slightly misaligned. It should be at the zero line. But what this shows is that right now we don't have any inflation. Inflation rate is zero. And that is one of the taming factors as to why the long-term rate still remains low and could remain low if the inflation rate continues to persist at this low levels. But if we go into some of the components of the consumer price index inflation, next slide, one sees something is beginning to bubble up, which is rents. Rents are rising at over right now 3.7%, and if the rents were the only aspect of the consumer price inflation, the Federal Reserve would be panicking. They would say this is inflationary pressure, and perhaps it could intensify. And the rental vacancy rate continued to trend down, which means that we are in a shortage of housing, so there could be even further upward movement on the rents. So if this was the only thing the Federal Reserve was focused on as related to inflation, the Federal Reserve would have already raised the interest rates. But the reason why the overall CPI is zero is that we are getting a big help, negative inflation coming from low energy prices. As everyone knows, gasoline prices are considerably lower now compared to 1 year ago, and that is helping to keep the overall inflation at zero. But inflation is generally defined as a 12-month time period phenomena. So once the impact of the low gasoline prices begin to diminish, that is to say right now it's a $2 per gallon, and it's much lower compared to 1 year ago. But once we reach January, February, gasoline prices January or February compared to 12 months before would show essentially no change, very little change, which means that we will no longer get that big help, negative influence on inflation from the energy prices. So it could be the rents that will begin to drive up the core inflation rates. And as part of this anticipation, I think the Fed will need to raise rates. And furthermore, they will likely raise rates again, in my judgment, probably another three rounds in 2016. Next slide. As I mentioned in my earlier introduction slide, where we saw the momentum in loss in home buying last time mortgage rate rose 100 basis points, I think this time around it could be a little different. First, I think the increase in mortgage rate will be very manageable. Currently, it's about 4%. Maybe 1 year from now, it may be 4.5%, 4.7%. At most 5%, so 100 basis point increase at most, but it could only be 50 basis point increase, independent of how many rounds that the Federal Reserve changes their short-term Fed funds rate. But even in a rising interest rate environment, I think there is a big compensating factor as related to the housing that is unique in this cycle compared to the past. One is that essentially the big picture is that credit box, in my view, will be opening up. We have heard that many renters who wanted to buy, they are frustrated that they are not getting loan approval. And there is a various thing that appears to make the approval more easier going into 2016. FICO scores are gradually being modified, changes in algorithm, which in general should boost people's credit score. So on average, there will be some boost to people's credit score. And the reasoning for this is, what is the intent of FICO score? And the intent is to assess the default probability. And what they're finding today is that people are not defaulting, yet the credit scores are not truly reflecting this very low default rate. So they are going to readjust some of the algorithm. The other part is that the government mortgage-backed agencies, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they are a major player, and they are doing everything they can to open up the credit box, including introducing some of the lower down payment products. This is not going back to the bubble years of lax underwriting standards. It will still require its high credit score, but still, one will try to, at the edges, try to open up the credit box on the down payment requirements. FHA, another government-backed mortgage product, had charged extremely high premiums, but that has already been lowered by 50 basis points, and there could be additional room for lowering in 2016 because FHA is now on a much positive side of the ledger, meaning that briefly, it looked like they may need government bailout money. Now they don't need the government bailout money. And with each passing month, they are improving in their overall balance sheet position. Therefore, there could be some additional room for lowering it. And another part is the portfolio lending, those that is not even backed by government, the banks are lending it and keeping inside a bank, and it's been a moneymaker because the default rates have been at historic low levels. So the lenders on their own initiative may begin to open up the credit box. So what we saw a couple of years ago when the rates were increased that led to the downward shift in home sales, I think this time around it will not occur because of this big compensating factor. And one final remark is the reason why the Fed is raising rates is that we are creating jobs. You know, that's one big factor, which means that we are in a decent shape economically, and that job creation will be another positive aspect to support the housing market.
Great, thank you. At this time, we will open the lines up to your questions. As a reminder, you can press 1 to ask a question live, or feel free to email that question to us at info@businessfwd.org if you prefer to do that. When asking your question, don't forget to introduce yourself and tell us your business and your name and where you're coming from. We've got a couple of emailed questions to start off the discussion. Is there any indication that an increase in interest rates could affect holiday shopping and sales? And I'll let the two of you kind of respond to that.
Yeah, this is Drew. I'm not familiar with anything that would show such a short-run reaction. Again, for this particular occurrence, I'd say it's a pretty well-telegraphed rate increase. Many people thought the Fed would actually increase interest rates in September, and much of the financial press since then has been viewing now as the rate increase. So I would not expect the actual increase, since it's largely anticipated to have effects this month.
Okay, great. Thanks. The next question is pretty simple. If the Fed announces they will raise rates, when will the new rate go into effect?
It goes into effect immediately. I think the bigger question is the reading of the Fed minutes to gauge when the next round of increase will be, or at least the general direction. Are they hurrying? Are they expressing concern about some inflationary pressure building up, particularly on the core inflation? Or are they saying that they are more concerned about the global economic weakness and needing to provide monetary stimulus support continuous throughout? So I think that will be the key question. And also another aspect which I did not touch upon is that short-term rate changes, Fed funds rate changes, does have a direct impact on LIBOR rates. It has impact on prime rates. So to the degree that people who have borrowed money on commercial real estate or on adjustable rate mortgages, they could be impacted quite soon from these changes. But one compensating factor to that is that people who took out those adjustable rate or short-term rates, They took it out when the rates were higher. So actually they got some bonus throughout this zero interest rate policy, meaning that their monthly debt obligation actually fell as the interest rates were coming down. And now it's beginning to be raised to it, which should match up with their expectation.
Okay, thanks. We have a couple live questions now. John Heltman is our first question. John, go ahead and ask your question. You're live.
Hi, John Heltman with American Banker. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to see if you guys had any perspective on how this rate increase or the sort of expected future rate increases might affect the banking industry specifically.
For the banking industry, you know, they are always looking at the yield curve because that's their profit margin. You know, they are paying the depositors on the short or borrowing at short and lending out at longs at that. So that yield curve is the profit margin. And right now, you know, one of the charts that Drew showed was that yield curve has flattened out, and whether or not now with I'm not sure what will happen on the direction of the yield curve, but the raising of the short-term rates could be more of a confidence play to the market. that it provides signal that the economy is strengthening, and to the degree that the Federal Reserve is providing that hand and the lenders believe that, it may actually provide a more lending opportunity for the banks, because as a borrower, even for the short-term borrowing, you know, what difference does it really make whether one is borrowing at 0.1 versus 0.2 when the Fed funds rate historically have averaged at, say, 3.3 or 3.5?
Great. Thank you. Our next question comes from Kenneth Wengrod. Kenneth, you're live is line. Go ahead, introduce yourself and ask your question.
Good morning. This is Ken Wengrod. I'm the founder of FTC Commercial, where we are a lender to small businesses. And I wanted to understand the correlation. If the rates go up, the short-term rates go up approximately a quarter, what would the effect be on prime?
On the prime, it will go up by a quarter. But right now, it's at a zero interest rate guidance, which means it could be 0.1 or 0.15. So I think the first rate increase, there is a little wiggle room. So it may not necessarily go up a quarter, but the second rate increase, third rate increase, it will be direct one-to-one proportion on the prime rate.
Great. Our next question comes from Dees Stribling. Dees, go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, this is Dees Stribling with Commercial Property Executive. And I would like to ask if this rate increase or the series of rate increases next year will have any impact on the lending climate for commercial properties.
On the commercial property, I have sort of divergent view related to the outlook on the commercial real estate because as people are buying commercial properties, they are chasing after yields, or the lingo that commercial real estate industry uses is something called cap rates. And the cap rates have been driven exceptionally low, which means that with rising rates, cap rates will also need to increase, which means either rents need to be much higher or property values need to decline. And I believe that some of the trophy properties in big cities like San Francisco and New York, where cap rates are exceptionally low, it is somewhat vulnerable to property price decline. I would say that it's going to be very modest, but there is a chance of that occurring, and that's why I think the degree of how many times the Federal Reserve will be raising rates next year could dictate that. But many of the, say, Class B building or more of a suburban market, a less prime market, secondary market, commercial real estate, the cap rates are such that the rising rates should not really hurt the cap rates in this market, which means that property prices will hold on. So with that as a background, regarding commercial borrowing or commercial real estate, overall vacancy rates are trending down, and as long as jobs are being created, that should lead to increased occupancy demand, and hence there should be some interesting the play where some people may be buyers, other people may want to get out because of the rising cap rates. So it will be an interesting time for the commercial real estate.
Our next question is an emailed question from Carrie Baines from the Alpha Strategy Group in New Jersey. And she asks, do expected changes in fiscal policy play a role in the decision to raise rates, for example, expected lower taxes?
This is Drew. I'd say, in general, the Federal Reserve does pay attention to fiscal policy or the absence of fiscal policy. Right now, there is a pending tax bill on tax extenders that is expected to be acted on by Congress this week. But I don't believe something of that scale would be taken into account by the Federal Reserve. If there was essentially a new stimulus program in effect, something like that would weigh on a decision.
Thanks. Our next question comes from Joseph Lawler. Joseph, your line is live. Go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you very much. I'm a reporter with the Washington Examiner. I wanted to ask, based on the fact that the initial short-term rate increase is pretty much fully anticipated and priced in, what would you be looking for from the statement tomorrow and in, from Chairwoman and Janet Yellen's statements that might be meaningful about the stance of monetary policy going forward for businesses, for builders, for investors, for everyone out there? Thank you.
Great. Well, Lawrence hinted at this by referring to looking at the minutes, which will be released in several weeks. But you're right. Janet Yellen will give a press conference tomorrow. There will be a statement. What she has been saying recently and what the statements have suggested is that there will be moderate increases. And so I expect to hear a lot of language like that, moderate increases. Rate increases will be data dependent, suggesting that the Fed is not locked into increasing interest rates every other meeting, but each meeting they will be looking at the economy. In September, they postponed a rate increase, noting their concern for developments in the world economy. I would pay attention to whether they raise any new factors as potential concerns in either direction.
I would add that, more Chairwoman Janet Yellen mentions about the global economy, the weakness in commodity prices, the wobbliness of Chinese economy, the central bank in Europe printing money. This kind of statement is implying that the Federal Reserve do not want to unhinge with the rest of the world, but because by doing so, it will make the dollar even stronger and hurt U.S. exporters. So to the degree that how much of the comment is related to the global economic weakness, how much of how much references are being made to weakness in commodity prices, all that would signal that the Federal Reserve, any future changes will be very, very gradual. But if they don't mention the global economy as much, then I think they are more focused on the domestic economy, and the domestic economy is showing signs of strength. I mean, it's not the best of the world, but it's a decent world.
Thanks. Oh, we have time for just a few more questions. Our next question comes from Joyce Scott. Joyce, go ahead. Your line should be live.
Good afternoon, and thank you. I'm in Houston, Texas, and as you know, we had the opportunity to show the world about our great economy until the price of oil went down. Any lessons learned from those of you who've gone through this recession earlier than us?
So Houston is already losing jobs along with North Dakota, Louisiana. So any areas where they are oil dependent, they are beginning to take a hit in terms of the jobs and also on the housing, home sales. We are also hearing Houston is seeing a much measurably lower home sales now than before. Somewhat different in Dallas. I mean, Dallas used to be the oil center, but it has shifted to Houston, and Dallas market has diversified, so they are still creating jobs. So the lesson to take, aside from the interest rate policy, is, the degree of diversity of the local economy. But one thing on the interest rate is that to the degree that the dollar strengthened because of the rate hike, that means that because oil is priced in U.S. dollars, it will make the oil prices even weaker, or the recovery in oil price to be slower. So from Houston perspective, you would like to see Janet Yellen slow down in terms of the pace of rate increase.
Okay, and we have one last question, time for one last question. Johnny Johnson, your line should be live. Go ahead.
Yes, Johnny Johnson, president of Johnson Marketing and Management Company in Chicago. Actually, my question has been answered. Thank you so much, both of you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, that is all the time we have for today. Please check your email for a post-event survey where you can provide feedback on today's webinar. Our next call will be this Thursday, December 17th at 2 p.m. We'll be joined by Lisa Ellman, who is the co-chair of the Unmanned Aircraft Systems Group at Hogan Lovells. She will talk about drone policy. Again, a special thank you to Dr. Lyon and Dr. Yoon and everyone who joined today's call. We look forward to working with you again soon.